One thing that I've noticed is that people often overlook valuable opportunities, especially when the odds of success seem very low. And whether you send that to 5 people or to 50 people is not that much work in addition to what you've already done. Taking those small opportunities, you might actually be positively surprised. That could be a big difference for the success of your career or your business.
This is a 2-part episode. If you want to check out the first part, listen to the previous episode of Time Billionaires.
Today's guest is Emily Prinsloo, assistant professor of marketing at Rice University, with a PhD from Harvard Business School and a master's from the University of Cambridge.
In general, you've studied how people make decisions, especially in product and business settings. And I'm wondering if there is some overarching takeaways that you want people to understand in general about making more effective decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So I teach at Rice University, right? And I teach product management and also focus that on entrepreneurship. And one thing that I've noticed is that people often overlook valuable opportunities, especially when the odds of success seem very low. And I've also conceptualized that in a paper called Opportunity Neglect, which is essentially, the undervaluation of low probability opportunities, especially when there's really no real cost involved. So to give an example, like in academia, sometimes what I've heard is that people won't apply to conferences, even if they've already written an abstract, because they think they might not get in. But I think this extends like everyday situations too, where, I mean, I kind of fell prey to that, like going out of high school, I was already dreaming of like studying in the US and maybe going to Harvard, but I thought I'd never get in and I'd never get a scholarship or anything like that. And so I didn't even try. I didn't even look into it, right? Even though I had already written like my package for European universities. So it probably wouldn't even have been that much work to try to figure out if I'd have a shot. And now I also hear entrepreneurs saying, well, I don't want to do a customer interview because people won't email me back anyway. But you're going to send or prepare, you know, a standard email most likely, right? And whether you send that to 5 people or to 50 people is not that much work in addition to what you've already done. And so taking those small opportunities and maybe approaching people that you think they're not going to care, you know, you might actually be positively surprised. And maybe you won't be surprised every time. But even out of 100 times, if you get surprised positively once, that could be a big difference for the success of your career or your business.
It really could. So there's nothing to lose. But I also think there's something about the confidence that comes from learning to stop self-rejecting. We're almost assuming a decision on the other person's behalf, which can erode, I think, our confidence and sense of agency over time. And I thought of you in this research in a totally different context with a friend of mine. A couple of months ago, we were at a store. We went out of town together. We were at a store and she saw these cool novelty, really pretty birthday candles that spelled out happy birthday. And she said, oh, look how pretty these are. They're probably ridiculously expensive. And she just put them back. First of all, ridiculously expensive in the grand scheme of something that made her happy would have been maybe $15. She guessed that they were $15. So I thought, that's fine. If this makes her happy, I'll go buy her $15 candles. It doesn't matter. But when I got up to check out, they were $5.43. So she had self-rejected from something she wanted that was actually just $15 in her mind before she even knew if she would have been willing to pay what they cost. And I think that over time, this just keeps us out of the game of opportunities that we could want because we've decided they're not accessible.
Of course, you can't seize every single opportunity, but if you're kind of at a decision point and you notice yourself saying like, I won't succeed anyway, then like kind of hold and stop and say, okay, like what's the probability? But even if the probability is low, it's still higher than zero. And then what's the cost to actually finding out or checking? And if the cost is relatively low, then maybe seizing that opportunity is still worth it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there's something to this getting comfortable with rejection, that it doesn't mean you're a failure. Applying to something with a low chance but no downside, you won't be harmed by being rejected. But I think so many of us are more afraid of finding out that the answer is no than not finding out the answer at all. And so these micro rejection muscles of getting stronger and more comfortable with them builds a lot of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually not taking an opportunity is actually equivalent to a rejection, right? Because you have, and even if you get rejected, you're still at nothing. So nothing minus nothing is zero. So you're not really worse off than you were before. And there's a chance of being better off in the end too, right?
Exactly. You're essentially saying that you're more afraid of finding out the answer. I've noticed this. I do improv too, of the people who've tied their identity to getting cast in certain shows tend to try out for less, do less, which in turn is less practice, less likelihood of getting cast. And this fear of rejection, or just this comfort that being rejected isn't a sign of your identity, I've seen build just a lot of confidence in what people choose to approach.
Yeah. I mean, this applies to dating too, by the way. Like, I have a friend like who, he's just somebody who, he goes to a bar and he's like, I'm going to approach everyone and somebody's going to hopefully stick, right? And I mean, it works. Like, he ends up going home with somebody like most times, and like, better than nothing, right? And like, he feels totally fine, off to the next. Now, I'm not like, you know, I'm not saying that you should have those type of lifestyle, but I think having that set of like, okay, like you try it and then you move on to the next thing, that's super successful. The other thing that it reminds me too is that there's, I don't remember who studied this, but there's research that shows that the most successful academics are actually those people who just generally publish the most. And so the people who have like, when I mean successful, I mean like top journal articles, so publishing in like the most impressive journals. So it's not that like people are going to get like a top journal article every single time. It's just that they produce so much that out of that, something is going to end up being successful. And so we don't really know which path that we take is going to lead to something fruitful, or which thing is going to be kind of the thing that defines us in the future. And so I think saying yes more often to things, especially if they're relatively costless, can be a success, because in the end, something of that is going to stick as an interesting opportunity down the line.
So true. It really will. Yeah. And even that comfort, I'm thinking of, there was a job that I almost didn't apply for because the salary range I thought was too high. It was almost 100% more than I had ever made. And so I just assumed they'd never hire me. I've never made that much money, but I figured, why not? I'll just toss my resume into the mix. And I ended up making it to the final four of that job, which was a cool opportunity to learn and have that experience, but really importantly taught me I was absolutely qualified for it, self-rejecting. I had nothing to lose by applying it, but I had just gotten in my own way about what I deserved.
And I think, so this applies to like actually applying for a company, but I think it also applies to like salary negotiations as well, right? I've had a friend of mine, she was recently recruiting for new jobs, and she kind of said, you know, I don't know if like I'm gonna, you know, come across as weird if I ask for more money. Like, there's kind of a standard. And I said, well, look, you've just won this award. So she just had won this award. Just give it a go and kind of put in like the hat, like why you should get more. And yeah, of course, she didn't get like the 20K that she asked for more, but I think it ended up being 5K more than she had thought. And that based on the fact that she was like, yeah, it's not gonna work at all, right? And the same thing with promotions too. Like, sometimes we think getting promoted really quickly is not gonna happen because that's not the standard. But if you actually have the performance to show for, then what is there to lose if you go into the room with your supervisor and you kind of at least see what would be required to get promoted so that maybe you can go faster than you thought, right? Don't, you know, stop yourself, but actually have other people stop you as opposed to you stopping yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's only upside to doing that. It's great. So if you could recommend one thing to our audience about using their day-to-day time more effectively, what would that be?
I think it's putting away your phone or distractions and really focusing on connecting with others and also connecting with yourself and seeing the opportunities presented before you.
Yeah, possibly just by giving your Uber driver a compliment, right?
Yeah, exactly.